bring Christian greetings this morning. I was blessed with that verse, I think the youngest one said there, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And this morning I had, for a devotional meditation, I ran across a verse here recently, kind of stood out to me. It might have been because of the blessings we've had from above the last, well, this whole year. It's been a very unusual year, just so nice and green out there. But the verse is found in Proverbs 11, verse 25. It says, he that watereth shall be watered also himself. And, you know, we've had a lot of water. I'd like to look at a passage in 1 Kings 17. It talks about, it gives an example of someone that was, I believe that we could say, watered in this sense. It's a very familiar passage, a very familiar story. We know there in chapter 17, Elijah went to tell the king. He told him, he said, it's not going to rain for, I forget how many days he said there, or if he said the amount of days. But he said, let him know it's going to be dry. And God told him to go get him to Brook Cherith, and he said, you'll be fed. If there was a stream there, the brook, he could get water. He said, the ravens will feed you. And that came to an end. The brook dried up. And, you know, as I was thinking about that, Elijah was there. You know, God could have kept that little brook trickling for him just as easy as he kept the ravens bringing him food. But he wanted him to go somewhere else. He had something else in mind for him. And so he told him in verse 9, he says, get up, go to Zarephath. He said, I've got someone there that will take care of you. So starting with verse 10, it says, so he arose, 1 Kings 17, verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for you, for thee, and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And we can get a lot of lessons out of these interesting little stories. But I'd like to draw our attention to giving. And I want to say right from the start here, this is for myself as much as anybody, and I'm very blessed by our congregation here and the willingness to give and to reach out. But I think it's something we need to keep reminding ourselves of, and it's something we don't want to lose. But here there was a situation where there was giving when there's nothing to give, it seems. She had a little meal and a little oil. We also have the passage in Mark chapter 12 where Jesus went in to the temple and says he sat over where he could watch the people that were giving. And there were the wealthy people that came in, they gave lots. And then the story of the widow that came in and gave two mites. She gave all that she had, and he drew his disciples' attention to that. And he said, look, he said, I want you to notice what this woman has given. He said, she's given more than all these others. And I'm sure that was kind of a shock to the disciples. How could have she given more than all the rest? But he says, you know, she gave everything. She gave her all her living. Well, here in this story, Elijah comes up and he asks her, you know, he could have said, go ahead and make yourself, and then if there's some left, there will be, if you, you know, then I'll take some. But he said, do what you said, but go make for me first, and then they'll be for you. A test of faith. You know, how would I respond? How would you respond in a situation like that, down to the last little bit? And there was a starving child involved. It wasn't just her. Well, the verse that talks about the watering there out of Proverbs 11, I'm going to read verse 24 and 25. It says, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." In watering, we will be watered. And I appreciate the thoughts that were shared in the devotional of the psalmist David there, King David. I think of him as King David. But, you know, I think the reason those psalms are so special, those psalms meet, they fit everywhere, is because King David was, he grew up a shepherd boy in poverty, probably, or a poor, or doing what was considered a lowly job. He was a king. He was a vagabond, you might say, somebody that was being chased to kill, but people were wanting to take his life. He found himself in all kinds of different situations. But you know, I think even wherever he found himself, he was, in most of those cases, he was watering or he was reaching out. How would he ever reached out to so many people if he wouldn't have been in some of those situations? You know, those men that he found in the mountains when he was hiding and running, those were men that were also in the same situation. But he pointed them in the right direction. He helped them, I believe, brought them together and was a blessing in their lives. And when we think of watering, if we're doing it so that we can be blessed, or if we're watering, giving, hoping that others will notice how much we water, you know, the blessing will be lost. But Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." You know, it's only as we realize our own true poverty that we can be a part of His kingdom, as we yield ourselves to His will. There's a quote I want to read here. It says, "The true character of the loveliness that tells for God is always unconscious. Conscious influence is priggish and unchristian. If I say, 'I wonder if I'm of any use,' I instantly lose the bloom of the touch of the Lord. He that believeth on me, out of him shall flow rivers of living water. Again, if I examine the outflow, I lose the touch of the Lord. If I wonder if I am of any use, I instantly lose the bloom of the touch of the Lord. If I examine the outflow, I lose the touch of the Lord." I believe what he's saying is we have to lose ourselves. It's doing it unconsciously. Just, it's part of us. Doesn't mean we don't do it. There's the right time to do it, and we need to do it regardless, but it has to be done. If we want the blessing, it has to be just a part of us. Did the widow of Zarephath have any thought of being noticed? Did she do it for what she might receive? Well, you can say maybe she did. You know, we could come up with all kinds of assumptions. But I really don't believe she did. What we know is that she gave. She was willing to give first. She was willing to give of the very last of what she had. She was literally willing to give at the bottom of the barrel. You know, no recourse. There was no government helps. There was no credit cards to back up on. She gave of the last. And she was blessed. We know the story. There was enough there then for her and her child and for Elijah till it rained. We also have Paul's commending the Corinthian church there in 2 Corinthians 8:1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. So even in the midst of poverty, in the midst of trials, they were, it says, of the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And we heard last Sunday about the man that was asked if he was given this big sum of money, would he give half? And he, you know, he agreed, and it came on down to something he had. Well, then it wasn't really fair. And I had to, I don't know how many of you get that paper, forget the title, I forget the name of it exactly, Anabaptist Voices or something like that. But there was, the first article had a story of a man that was, had a rough day. He, his child was, need to take his child to the doctor. He was running late. I'm not sure how the whole story went. But by the time it was all said and done, by the time he got home that night, he had 3 speeding tickets. And he had never had a speeding ticket before. And it added up to like $2,100 some odd. Just under $2,200, I think, for those 3 tickets. So he was, he put this story in there and asked, you know, what his response should be. And the last one gave what happened then. But he, and maybe we can, they were also doing a building project at their church, and they were trying to raise money for it. And then here he had this, all this, these tickets to pay. So he told the Lord that he's going to take that amount of money out, and he's going to go to the court, and whatever's left over, whatever it comes down, he will give to the building project. So there may be places for that too. But anyway, this turned out, interestingly enough, the first place he went, was a city, and he didn't fare too well there. He had to pay the full amount of $350, I believe, or something like that. When he went on to the next court session, it wasn't city. And in both of these, he went in and he pled guilty, and he said, I deserve justice, but I plead for mercy. And anyway, in the second one, he came out, I think somewhere around $178 paid off the balance. So he had a pretty nice chunk there to give to the project. And that's, I think, commendable that he would have really given it there than to these tickets. But, you know, that's, so there's different ways. But I think, you know, it needs to be, it should be a part of us. It should be our willing, is it, Whose is it? Who are we doing it for? And where is it coming from? And it's in a lot of different areas, not just in, it can be just in the, you know, if we look at our own lives, look at who has touched you the most in your life. Was it the people that maybe talked a lot and told you a lot of things, or was it the ones that, was it maybe just somebody silent, or just their way of life, and they're reaching out to you, the little things they might have said here and there, their example? It's a lot of different ways we can be watering, that we can be reaching those around us. If given the choice between living the American dream or the vision of the kingdom, which one will you choose? You know, in the Back to Jerusalem pamphlet that we just got recently, it was saying in there, there's a lot of huge areas of China that is the gospel's never gotten been. Where the gospel's never been taken. A lot of languages that are, don't have the Bible in that language. But they have been trying to figure out how to get into that. And the month of August, there's 200 people that have committed themselves to go in personally and pass out literature and digital media and stuff to try to reach these people. People that don't even realize that they're Chinese. People that are usually very antagonistic towards evangelism. So where do we find ourselves? You know, they're watering. And in that sense of watering, they are willing to put their lives on the line to reach out. You know, where do we where do I find myself? Would I be willing to do something like that? But I would encourage us to remember those people in prayer, many other places, people that are reaching out and willing to go in to places like this. So if given the choice between living the American dream or the vision of the kingdom of God, which will you choose? I'd like to leave that challenge with us. Let's kneel for prayer.